Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. Happy Friday to you and yours. My name is Carrington Harrison. To my right, it is the sports machine, Sean Levine. Rob Brinton is the producer of this thing. Coming up in 30 minutes, we'll give you a chance to win $1,000 in our national cash contest. We'll talk some Royals. We'll talk some NFL. We'll talk some KU. There's actually a lot going on right now in the world of sports. You want to know how I know that? Because I've seen the hits.
Okay, now, from the beginning.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
Check it out.
The top stories of the day, every day at 5 o'clock. The hits.
Cue it up.
One.
Let's go. Can I just, can I make hit number one, actually? That's really nothing to do with anything, but yesterday Patrick Mahomes was hanging out with Trevor Lawrence at Augusta National. Just, it's like just a regular Thursday in April. Like, hey, Pat, what are you doing? Like, right now, like, think of who, like, some of your friends are. If you just, like, randomly asked them, like, hey, what do you have up on Thursday? And then your friend was like, oh, yeah, I'm just going to hang out with the number one overall pick at Augusta National. That's kind of what I have planned for the day. That's what Patrick Mahomes did yesterday.
Me and my boy RV were going to go fishing at Hillsdale Lake. Looking forward to that.
Patrick Mahomes lives the lives that all of us were like, yo, if I was famous, that's what I would do. He just goes to the top boxing events. He goes to the top UFC events.
His frequent flyer miles have to be good.
Yeah, I don't think he's frequently flying the way that you and I are flying.
Oh,
I'm assuming
not.
That he's flying private.
Private, I mean, everywhere.
That NetJet card probably filling up pretty good.
Yeah, something's telling me that he ain't flying United. That's what I'm going
to
guess.
What level of, like, celebrity or athlete do you have to be to only fly private?
I think it's the money. I think
question. But I feel like I would say more than half the Chiefs players you could catch flying on a, not like a Spirit Airlines flight or Frontier, but on the Southwest or Delta.
I think every person on the team other than Mahomes is flying regular.
Really?
Yeah. I think flying private is really, really expensive. And I don't know too many people that could consistently apply. Like, Tyreek Hill is not flying private everywhere that he's going. Tyreek Hill's made good money in his NFL career. Certainly not knocking that. I ain't never getting on Southwest money.
No, I think that Patrick Mahomes, I haven't Craigslist used planes recently, but something tells me that he could afford at this point with his endorsements and the money that he's about to make to have his own plane at the crib, out back, and pay a pilot whenever he needs to. Tyreek Hill, probably not at that point right now. I did it one time. My buddy Nick had a rich uncle. It was out of Forbes Field in Topeka. I would much rather fly Spirit Airlines on a delayed flight than a private plane ever again. It was scary as hell. It was basically like being in my 1998 Toyota Camry with wings. Like, we get to the airport, no security. They pull the thing closed. 5 minutes later, we're in the sky. And I kid you not, I'm not making this up. The way they navigated us through the sky was with an iPad. Like, that's what we were depending our life on. Like, I'm good on private planes, dude.
I mean, you were flying on a flying minivan. I don't think that's what Patrick Mahomes is getting onto.
That's fair. Like,
I think he's flying on some pretty – we've seen enough Instagram videos to know Pat's flying very well.
It's baller, yeah.
Hung out. Hung out.
I mean, I think they just bumped into each other. I don't think they were going down there together.
Photo op.
Oh, I think they just were both at the Masters, and they're like, hey, man, what's up?
The same way we go out and bump people back on again. Who's the most famous person you talk to that's not on the team? Like, that you would say, I'm friends with X. I think the answer is going to be wild.
Athletes run in tight circles, though. Plus, if you're Patrick Mahomes, I feel like your best friends are guys like, I mean, obviously Kelsey, but I think you take pride in the Garrett Dieters of the team being your best friend. Like, you're that guy. It doesn't have to be the superstars that you're friends with. It can also be the 53rd guy on the roster.
Yeah, I mean, I also think, I mean, he has hung out with LeBron, you know?
Yeah, but do you really think they're friends? They know each other because they're super rich and they're both A1 athletes. But, like, friends in the sense that you have friends? I mean, I don't think they're really friends.
No, yeah, I think they're just – I think that really cool people want to be around really cool people.
Yeah.
Well, there's no way to transition from that to this. But
that's
yesterday,
just what I thought today on a Friday. Yesterday, the Royals are a 500 baseball team. I don't have any hot opinions about the Royals being an average team through the first six games of the season, because it's the first six games of the season and they're average.
Three.
You didn't ask the question.
You just ruined the hit.
Come on now.
Just ruined it.
Like, I know you guys want me to be Buzz Killington all the time. They're a 500 base. I picked them to finish under 500. They're at 500. They can stop the season right now, and I'd be happy.
They can at least offer up an opinion, like Brad Keller's been bad and Jacob Junis was good. And
I mean, I'm sure we'll talk about that after the hits, but that's what I think about the Royals. Okay. It's been two Brad Keller starts. I don't have any strong opinions other than that I think Greg Holland might be washed. I don't have any other opinion about the team.
The broadcasting school is really paying off.
Well, earlier today, we were going to talk about how Ochai Agbaji and now Jalen Wilson have both declared for the NBA draft, but we got diverted with a Paul Pierce hate segment. But now I'll ask you this, Sean LaVine. Are you surprised
you
that both...
because you know what's coming. You ask me.
Are you surprised that both Agbaji and Wilson are entering the draft, albeit without signing an agent?
Yeah, so, I mean, they can go back if they don't get the news that they hope to hear. I think both those guys will probably end up second-round picks, get a chance, no guaranteed contract. Why would we talk about these guys for KU basketball team that was down instead of not go back to the whole Paul Pierce conversation? Because you were talking about earlier, C-Dot, how you feel bad that my guy was unceremoniously fired with the whole stripper thing. I don't think you actually feel bad. Like, I think that you understand that Paul Pierce played at KU, that he's not real good at being an NBA analyst, and so it just kind of is what it is. But I don't think there's any part of you that feels bad that Paul Pierce lost his job.
I think why he got fired is silly.
It is total BS.
I think it's silly. Now, I would also say, you know the company that you work for and their reputation on these kinds of issues. I mean,
you work for Disney.
And you're not a high enough employee. Like, if this was Stephen A. Smith, I think Stephen A. Smith is still working there. Now, he might be suspended for 2 weeks, but ESPN makes a lot of money off Stephen A. Smith. They're not firing him for this Facebook Live that I think happened accidentally. But ESPN, who has 50 former athletes commenting on sports, and this would happen, you're like, all right, yeah, we're not doing this anymore. There's another Paul Pierce that's out there. If there's one thing that I think there's an abundance of, it's former NBA players who want to make six figures to talk about the NBA on television. I think there is a bunch of them that do that. There's probably guys right now in the NBA that would quit playing on the NBA to have the job that Paul Pierce
has. You know
has.
I love Paul Pierce. Every time I go to Vegas, I bust out my Paul Pierce jersey that I've had since 1999. Like, I love Paul Pierce, but he's not good at being an analyst. He looks corny. He wears the glasses and the suits, and he says corny things that oftentimes he's wrong. He puts himself in the same light with guys like Dwayne Wade and LeBron James. He gets into these beefs that he doesn't even believe. Like, I would say as far as NBA analysts go, if we're ranking the guys on TNT and ESPN, he's at the very, very bottom, and it feels like ESPN knew that, recognized that, and then looked for a reason to get out from beyond it. Like, if he was better at his job, like you said, he wouldn't have got fired for that.
It says Dwayne Wade isn't here to defend his honor. I'm
props out to Dwayne Wade. Magnificent.
No, it's my turn. Don't backtrack.
In the league.
He's made all NBA first team twice. Paul hasn't done it. He made all NBA eight times to your four. Ooh. He's made all defensive team three times to your zero.
Ooh, zero. That's rough.
He's won one scoring title. You weren't able to win the scoring title.
That's too bad.
He has three rings. You have one ring.
Ooh, three is bigger than one.
What are he's just the hype man over there, huh? Just the hype man.
I don't have a horse to drink.
I don't know what the hell Jalen Rose is laughing at. Jalen Rose had two years where he averaged over 20 points per game. Paul Pierce had 12 years where he averaged over 20 points per game. I don't know what you're cackling at, Jalen Rose.
Jalen's at least been realistic about the kind of NBA player that he was. Paul Pierce ain't really. Paul Pierce acts like he plays in the 70s and none of us watched him play. Bro, you played the 2000s and 2010s. We saw you was average.
He wasn't average. That's just. He's better than average. You're lying to yourself.
I think he was a good NBA player.
He averaged 19.8 points per game and close to six dimes.
I think he was a good NBA player.
I think that he's a Hall of Fame NBA player.
I think he was a good NBA player. I think he was a good NBA player that played on the right franchise. Like, Let's say that Paul Pierce has that same career with the Memphis Grizzlies. I don't think we ever talk about Paul Pierce. He got drafted by the Celtics. I mean, that's, you know, your situation. You hooped with the Celtics. He was never a first-team All-NBA guy. I think he was only second. I think he was a good player.
I don't think it was the best situation, to be honest with you. First of all, he got stabbed 5 minutes. Remember that? He got stabbed 5 minutes after he got there. And then his best teammate was Twan for a decade. Antoine Walker was his best running mate. I mean, that's like the LeBron James argument. If he would have played 10 years with Zydrunas Ilgauskas and Boobie Gibson,
he probably would have went to
Larry
the finals
Hughes.
Four times probably with those guys, too. That. He definitely would have went to the – I mean, he did it once at age 22.
Paul Pierce took those Celtics teams to, I believe, two different conference finals again with Twan being the second best player.
I do know this.
Yeah, I like to see him get 30 to 35 minutes. I mean, he's in his early 20s. He's showing – we're just getting a taste of him. I'm like, you know, I'm tired of getting a taste of him. I want the whole load.
Teach his own ball.
I really don't like Paul Pierce. I just genuinely don't like that dude.
But the difference when you were talking about like your dislike for Paul Pierce and mine for Tony Romo, you took it a step further and said he's not welcome to come on the radio show. People want to hear it, C-Dot.
I don't want anybody.
People want to hear it.
I don't want anybody on the show that I don't like.
But people want to hear it.
Then go on another show. There ain't no shortage of places you can hear Paul Pierce. I don't want anybody on the show that we don't like.
I don't like Tony Romo. I think he's corny and overrated.
He ain't coming on the show.
He's more than welcome to come on the show. Open invitation whenever he wants. Because people listening right now want to listen to Tony Romo. So, Tony, if you're listening right now, which you probably are, you're more than welcome to come on
the
show.
I would never put the work in to get him on the show. I don't want him on the show. If his publicist emailed us and said, hey, can you put Paul Pierce on the show? I would say put him on Fesco in the morning or put him on Cody and Gold.
If Speck sent me, you and Rob, an email.
I don't have a 0% interest.
Yeah, but if he said on Monday.
He's the only KU player I feel that way. Tomorrow, Sharon wants to come on the show. Sharon, come on the show. Cole Aldridge wants to come on the show. Bill Self wants to come on the show.
What's your problem?
Bill Self might not want to come on this show because I'm going to ask him some Adidas questions, but he's welcome on this show if he wants to come on here.
What the hell did Paul Pierce do to you? I don't get it. Like, Paul Pierce, I understand. He's not the most likable guy. He's also not the most unlikable guy. I don't know what your beef with Paul Pierce is.
Paul Pierce is Kirk Cousins, but thinks he's Patrick Mahomes. I don't like that.
He's better than Kirk Cousins. What are you talking about?
I think he's Kirk Cousins.
Are you serious?
I think he's Kirk Cousins, and he thinks he's Russell Wilson. And I don't like that. I don't like his game. I don't like that.
You don't like that he went to KU?
No, that doesn't bother me as much as you think.
Like he's a jerk.
I don't like the fact of, you know, two things that I think Paul Pierce started in the NBA. It had nothing to do with the hits. I want to tell you guys anyway. Two things that I hate about basketball. You know that when you come off a screen and then you jerk your head back like you just got in a 5-car collision? Paul Pierce started doing that.
Yeah, Reggie Miller didn't do that for 10 years. Paul Pierce started that.
All right. No, I would say that Reggie was more the, I'll like kick my feet out, or if you like hit me on the jump shot, I'll flail my arms. He wasn't the like come off the screen, act like you've been shot guy. That's Pierce's move. Hate it. I didn't like the game against the Lakers where, bruh, you got carried off the court. Carried off the court. I mean, he looked like he needed 7 IVs. I thought he was going to go get his leg amputated in the back.
How do you know he didn't? He was in a wheelchair, was he not?
And then he came back perfectly fine.
Superman, that's the truth. Handle the truth.
That's when I just was like, I can't do this anymore with Paul Pierce.
Why can't you respect that? If that was your guy, if that was Michael Porter Jr., imagine this. He gets hurt, and then he's in a wheelchair, and then he comes back onto the court. You'd start the show with it. We wouldn't ever stop talking about it. But since it's Paul Pierce and he went to Kansas, then he was faking it. No, I get it. That's fine.
He's the only person from KU I hate. I'm here to tell you. There's no other person on the KU, like in their family, that I would say that I hate. I don't like him. I don't want him on the show. No, thank you. Coming up in a little bit, we'll go inside the mind of the machine. I want to play this for you. Vern had a caller on his show, and his caller was basically all Royals fans.
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to talk about Brad Keller, too. You know, if we want to, like, get back to the postseason, like, to where we want to be, if the pitchers like Singer and Keller, like, don't get to where we need them to be, even, like, Daniel Lynch and stuff, we have no shot because, like, Keller these first two games has been the worst pitcher in baseball, and I don't get how he gets his own little radio show when he's pitching terribly. I mean, we can't, like, expect to make the playoffs if Mike Minor and Danny Duffy are the guys, and these young pitchers can't do anything. I mean, right now our best pitcher is Jacob Junis, and you just can't win that way. And I just think it's ridiculous. And I think if the Royals get swept by the White Sox, I think the season's over. Thanks for the call.
All right. Hey, there you go.
All right. This is what I mean about Royals fans. And I'm not going to say that it's not earned, because for most of our lives, the Royals have underperformed. Most of our lives. But I always say that, like, everybody, if you're a sports fan, you have your version of the Missouri Tigers. Like, how you kind of make fun of Missouri. Like, oh, you guys are always reactionary and you do all this. Like, a lot of you treat the Royals the same way that a lot of people I know treat Missouri. At the very beginning of the season, you kept saying, oh, you're so optimistic. You're so optimistic. Stop being Hope Harrison. You don't believe it. I kept on this show. I said, I think they'll win between 75 and 77 games. You were here. The text line was here. Rob was here. Everybody knows I was on that the entire offseason. They're on pace to do better than that so far through the first six games of the season, albeit a small sample size. But this might come as a shock to you. To win 75 or 77 games, that would mean they would play under 500 baseball the rest of the way. So I'm not in the business of overreacting to super small samples when it comes to the Royals. I'll do that at the end of every month. Let's see where they are at the end of April, because the Royals that we've grown up with, for the most part, at some point in April, that losing streak is coming, and you Royals fans know exactly the one that I'm talking about, where they go from being a 3-3 team, and then you'll look up and blink your eyes, and they'll be 4-11. You're like, hold on, how did this happen? Like, how did we get here?
That's all the caller was saying, in my opinion. I think what the caller was saying is, if you start to slide and it happens against the White Sox and you get swept, then maybe the snowball, instead of rolling downhill, you have to start to push it uphill. Like, we've seen that a lot where the Royals get off to a 2-2 start. Then we look up and they're 3-14 and they're 9 games back and it's not even May yet. I think that's what they were suggesting, that, yeah, it's been fine through the first 6 games, but you can tell, or at least according to the caller, that it feels like they're on thin ice. I would disagree a little bit. It feels a little too early to make statements like that.
Yeah, but it's all about, to me, wherever you were at the very beginning of the season. I don't know where every individual person was. Maybe you thought the Royals could make the playoffs. Maybe you thought the Royals were going to win 67 games and you thought they were blowing smoke up your nose. Like, I don't know where anybody is. What happened in the first week of the season that would make you drastically change where you were?
We know the answer to that. Brad Keller goes out there and throws 4 innings, gets up 15 hits and a couple of home runs. Instead of looking like Cy Young, he looks like Cy Old. I mean, he looked absolutely terrible. If he would have gone out there and 8 innings up and, you know, looked like he had control, I don't think there would be any sort of a panic. But man, he's supposed to be the best player, and he's been the worst so far.
But if they were in the same place and they were 3-3 and Brad Keller pitched better, we would feel very different about the Royals?
Like, I think so, yeah.
At this point with the sample, we can identify that some things aren't real and some things are
real.
But
2 of the 3 losses were with what a lot of people thought was certainly your best pitcher and your best player, and he gave up runs so early that the Royals weren't even in those games. Like, you can play the opposite also. What if Brad Keller just would have been average in one of those starts or in both of them? Now we're talking about a team all of a sudden that's 4-2, 5-1. Now we can get really excited. I mean, part of the reason why the Royals don't have a better record, I'd say the main reason, is because Brad Keller's been awful so far.
But we would also agree that they're not a 5-1 team over a 6-game span either, and that it's going to regress. Like,
not with that kind of pitching.
This is what's confusing to me about baseball. And I know, Rob, you're a much bigger baseball guy than me. It's from October until April. We tell you how it's 162 games. It's a marathon, not a sprint. You got to take it one game at a time. And then the moment baseball starts, for like a 2-week stretch, we treat baseball games like they're football games, and we come to some big conclusion off one individual instance in a moment. The Royals have played exactly 1 week of baseball and are a 500 team. If they do that for the rest of the season, we should have a pizza party. If the Royals at the end of every 7-day stretch have won as many games as they lost, this will be a great season for the Royals. So let's ride it out just a little bit. There's some numbers that are out of whack on this team. That's kind of where we are just in the season as a whole. You're right. Brad Keller has not been bad. I'm not telling anybody anything they don't know. His ERA is 19.29. But we know that's not real. Even if Brad Keller isn't what you thought he was, His ERA is not going to be 19 at the end of the season. So you know that, and you store it in your mental Rolodex. Carlos Santana, his batting average is 174. Nobody's on here like, man, this team can't do anything. Carlos Santana can't hit. He has 23 plate appearances. Let's get a little bit more time. Let's get a little bit of a sample. Nicky Lopez. Nicky Lopez was a 215 hitter for his entire career. He's hitting almost 400 right now. We know that's going to regress. So we know right now that the numbers, whether they're really good or really bad, are inflated. It's up and down. So let's just ride it out for a little bit. I know that's not the most fun way to do this job or the most fun way to evaluate this team. But Denny Matthews always says you can't do it prior to Memorial Day. He says that's when you can really evaluate a team. Now, I don't want to wait that long to do it, but let's see where the Royals are at the end of the month, and this is how I'm evaluating the team in the month of April. That's all I care about. Do they have the long losing streak? How long is the losing streak? Because the Royals that you and I grew up with, they'll lose 7 of their next 8 games, and it will virtually be over. Do they avoid that? If they avoid that and they can just pass this stage of the game, so this is stage 1, be at or around 500 by the end of the month. That's all I'm evaluating this team on. If they do that, then you can advance to the next stage of the game. I don't care about anything else that happens over here.
Did you think heading into this season that Brad Keller was one of, if not the best player on the Royals?
I still think that.
Okay, and would you say that it's pretty obvious that Patrick Mahomes is the best player on the Chiefs?
Yeah, of course.
We're just doing a little exercise here, C-Dot. And then if you,
I mean, I think they're very different because like Mahomes is just
very, very, very different. Yeah, obviously. But just like if we're just comparing them to the rest of their own teammates type thing, I think that if you're starting,
I disagree there, but I get your point. I don't want to disargue the point. I get you.
I think that if you're starting to compare those other guys that you listed, like a Nicky Lopez and a Carlos Santana, now you're talking about guys, if we're comparing the Chiefs, like a Sammy Watkins or a Willie Gay or some of those just other pieces. I don't care what those other pieces do. But if Patrick Mahomes is struggling, even if it's early, even if it's a very small sample size, there's no reason to panic because you've seen enough good. You know that he's probably still going to end up one of, not the best player on the team. But there's reason to be concerned if the player that you expected to be really, really good looks really, really bad. That's why when you talk about Nicky Lopez, I don't care if he was hitting 100 or if he was hitting 500 right now, because I know when it all comes down to it, he's going to end up hitting 250. You asked about Whit earlier. What if Whit Merrifield came out the gates the same way that Brad Keller has and he was hitting a buck 50? I wouldn't be in any sort of panic at all.
I wouldn't think about
it. But we've seen a much bigger sample size to say that he's hit 300 in 5 different years, that he's probably going to end up back there. Are we sure that I didn't get a little bit too excited 9 days ago when I said that he was a real ace?
But nobody was riding with you on that. Like, Sean, you always do this. Like, you always pick one dude on the team and you'll go gung-ho for him.
Look
it happened
with
McCole Hardman. And I'm not saying Brad Keller's fine, but he was never an ace. And I'm not saying he still can't go back to what he was. I'm not saying that he can't go back to being what he was in 2019. In 2019, he made 28 starts. He was a 4 ERA guy.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I do get excited about these things. So take Cody's word for it. Is he a baseball guy? Take Vern's word for it. Is he a baseball guy?
Of course.
They're the ones who are building him up, and I'm jumping on board. So that's it. Like Brad Keller. I'm not the one who came up with the idea that Brad Keller was getting Cy Young votes last year. You know who was? Baseball. The writers. When Cody said this year that he thinks.
But last year, he had 9. Last year is not real. Like maybe that's where you and I are different. I don't care what Brad Keller did last season. Maybe I'm the only one right now that doesn't care. He pitched in 54 innings and made 9 starts. Last year is not a real year.
Do you care
what
he did his first year? Because this is his fourth year for Brad Keller. Year 1 was really good.
It was super strong.
Year 2, he took a step back. Year 3, in a short sample size, was really good. So pardon me for thinking that I've seen so much good Brad Keller that if he gets out the gates and throws 4 innings and gives up 15 hits through the first 2 games, and he was the guy that I expected a lot from to say, uh-oh, there's a bit of an issue. That's all I'm saying.
But he can easily fix this in 1 start, though. Like, it can just easily go away. Like, think about it like you're in a relationship, right? You and your girl can have the biggest fight in the world. I would say how he's pitched so far, the 20 ERA, in this context, a really big fight. But we've all been in a situation where you say something or she says something really funny that just ends the fight. His next start could be the really funny thing that ends the fight. If he goes out there in his next start, 6 innings pitched, 5 hits, 1 earned run, we're coming back on here like, all right, hey, it's over. It's ended. Let's move forward, Brad Keller. It was a small bump on the road. It's now April 11th, and Brad Keller's fine, and we're moving on with it. That's why. I'm not too high or too low on either side. I'm not here telling you that something's wrong with Carlos Santana. I'm not telling you something's wrong with Brad Keller. I'm not on here saying that, hey, let's extend Michael A. Taylor. Let's just ride it out for the month of April. Let's just be even keel. Let's ride it out. Let's evaluate where they are. And the Carrington checklist is avoid a long losing streak, because You can't play yourself in it in April. You sure as hell can play yourself out of it in April.
Well, yeah.
And you and I have seen a lot of Royals baseball where you play yourself out of it before the NFL draft.
Because you need that guy to stop those long losing streaks, and that was, in theory, supposed to be Brad Keller. So I'm not panicking at all. I agree with you. I think that Brad Keller is more than likely going to turn it around. But the same way that you can say into a microphone, well, he'll just go out there next time and give you six innings and five hits and one run. He can also give you two innings, give up two home runs, give you seven earned runs, the same way that we've seen a couple of times. And then at some point, it's going to be a problem. So right now, it is not. But it is a little bit of a problem.
I think his track record should tell you that
he's looked like the worst player on the team.
I know, but I'm saying is I think his track record should tell you that we shouldn't feel that way about him.
They're
eventually going to figure it out. That's what I'm saying, the track record is. You're right. Like, the next start could be good. It could be bad. You're right. That's 100% possible. I think the track record should tell you, based on the other 57 starts that he made, that, hey, these are anomalies. They happen to everybody. We could go through, and I know it's an extreme example, but we could go through Steph Curry. I think Steph Curry's the greatest person to ever shoot a basketball. I could find you two games where he went 5 for 19 from the field. All right. But you know over time. So if you...
What if it happened the first two games of a season? You don't think people would talk about it until the next game he went out there and started dropping threes?
I think it'd be a waste of everybody's time.
You also think that Brad Keller you can use in the same breath with Steph Curry? You think they've had about the same careers based on the sport they play?
I mean, he was an ace a couple days ago. Maybe he's still an ace.
I was just wrong. You ever think about that?
That ace is still in
Maybe
there.
Maybe I was just off my rock. You ever think about that?
That ace is still in there. Coming up a little bit, we'll do Ask Us Anything. We'll talk some Chiefs next. Keep it locked in as the Drive.
Drive. 610 Sports Radio.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Your national cash contest code word, you find it. Destiny, like the group Beyonce used to be in. Destiny, D-E-S-T-I-N-Y, Destiny. Text the word Destiny to 72881. Destiny, D-E-S-T-I-N-Y. Your national cash contest code word is Destiny. Rob, this has nothing to do with anything, but I should have asked you earlier, but I want to know. Have you seen the Godzilla King Kong movie?
Yeah, I saw it. What day did we have a day game? Wednesday.
I actually watched part of it yesterday.
You watched
it? No, I didn't watch it. It was on when I was there, and I saw it.
That seems like a movie you would be into.
Yeah, it didn't hold my attention. Was it good?
I mean, it's not great. I mean, it is what it is. It's a fine HBO Max film.
I actually plan on going to see it at the movie theater. That's a movie. I need my seats to rumble a little bit. I need the $19 popcorn. Like, that's not a movie that I'm really interested in watching at home. I got a seat at the movie theater. I saw it on my timeline. I wanted to ask you guys that question.
Remember when they had 3D movies? That's not a thing anymore, is it?
Yeah, but it's not like how it was. Like, they were pushing it on everything for a while, and the public was like, yeah, I'm not spending an extra $6 for a worse movie experience. Like, yeah, let's not do that.
My man's Brian had a 3D television set, and I thought that it was going to be total BS, and then I watched the movie. It's pretty sick, actually.
Yeah, I watched a couple movies in 3D. It really depends on how much the studio really wanted to invest in it, and I think we just saw they wasn't really investing that much money into it. So I saw this pop up on my timeline. It was actually earlier on the Pat McAfee show. So they did the team who had the highest win percentage during the 16-game era, so from 1978 until last season. What team do you think had the best record over that era?
Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh, the correct answer. They had a .609 win percentage. The Patriots were second.
Let me keep going. Green Bay's got to be up there.
They were fourth.
Seattle's got to be up there.
They're like eighth or ninth. They don't have these teams numbered, but
okay.
The top five is Pittsburgh. The Patriots are second. The Broncos are third.
Yeah, Broncos.
The Packers are fourth. And the Ravens, a little bit disadvantaged for the Ravens, but they are fifth on this list. Do you think you could get the bottom five?
Yeah. The Lions.
Yes. They're in dead last. They are the worst team ever.
The Browns.
They are second to worst last.
The Jets.
No, actually.
What?
No, not bottom five. They're close to the bottom five. They in the neighborhood. They just ain't living there.
Jacksonville?
They are fifth. They are the 27th worst team.
What's my time period again?
So from 78 to 2020. So okay. This is the entire era that the NFL had 16 games.
Arizona Cardinals.
They are fourth. You missed one team.
I got one left.
Yes.
This
one's not that hard, but I think I can see I could be hard now.
Give me the – I don't know. Who is it?
Tampa.
Oh, Tampa.
Tampa's been bad for basically all of our lives.
Except when they're good, they actually go out there and win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but no Bengals?
They're bad a lot. How are the Bengals not on there?
They're sixth.
Okay,
they're sixth. They're sixth. You know who the Buccaneers are? This is going to sound really bad. They're the Royals. The Buccaneers are the Royals.
That's a great comparison. It really is.
The Royals have had some golden years.
Yeah.
The Bucs, they've had golden years. Aside from those golden years, the Bucs have been bad.
You know why? It's because they haven't had, at least for the last 20, 30 years, a sustained run of success. That Royals run in 14, 15, I mean, let's call it what it is. It was from 12 to 17. It was a five-year run. Do you think this Bucs team's about to have a five-year run? There's no way.
I think this roster's actually really good. I think their roster's good.
Nah, I don't think so. I think that once Tom Brady goes away and some of these other guys go away, I know they re-signed everybody, then this thing, I mean, honestly, I think it's 50-50. They even make the playoffs next year. I don't really believe in that Bucs team all that much as far as longevity goes, but you're right.
I think the Bucs got more talent than the Chiefs.
I don't know about that. Let's see what the Chiefs do at left tackle before I start saying that the Bucs can't beat him again.
I'm not saying can't beat him. I'm saying is right now if we line up 53 versus 53, and I understand the one's the quarterback, so that obviously changed it, so I'd give Kansas City the advantage. I think 2 through 53 is kind of clearly Tampa Bay.
I know it's going to be crazy because I'm the one who spent all year building up Tom Brady and saying you were crazy, and then finally you had to apologize to him after they won the Super Bowl. I don't know if he's going to be close to the same guy. Like at some point, even the great ones, they do hit that wall. LaDainian Tomlinson, he hit the wall. He was done. Peyton Manning was great, and then he wasn't. I'm not suggesting that's going to happen with Tom Brady, especially the last time we saw him. He was pretty impressive. But if it does, then that whole thing goes south really, really quick. Who's their backup?
I mean, I don't think they won the Super Bowl because of their quarterback. I think they have
– I think they got there because of their quarterback.
I think they have – one of the five best offensive lines in the NFL. I think they have elite skill position players. I think they can rush the passer, and they have a good defense. That's going to make the playoffs next year. I also think with the Bucs too, we haven't really talked a whole lot about it. They, being a somewhat new team, struggled the first part of the season, then hit their stride the second half of the season. Like the last eight games of the season, the last 8 weeks of the season, if you include the playoffs, they're the best team in the NFL.
Yeah, but the Chiefs are clearly, in my opinion, if you don't think they're the best team in the AFC, who else would you argue? Buffalo? You can't argue anybody else.
No, I agree.
If you want to make the argument in the NFC, I think there's seven teams you could talk about. You can convince me that with Dak Prescott coming back, it's the Cowboys. You convince me that it's Aaron Rodgers. You could say that, well, maybe even with Drew Brees gone, it's still the Saints or it's one of these other teams. Like, I just think the NFC is really wide open with a bunch of quality teams. I think the AFC has probably the two best teams, in my opinion, Kansas City 1, Buffalo 2.
I mean, I understand this is quarterback driven, so it's very different. I don't want to be in the habit of last year how we patted the Chiefs so much on the back for running it back and the continuity, and now another team is doing it at the exact same level Kansas City did. I mean, Tampa Bay is returning everybody from the team. Every single player
who won
the
Super Bowl.
Tampa
Bay go out there and win 14 out of 15 games with their players out there, and then I'll start patting them on the back. But you got to do the opposite when they come out 2-6, and it looks like they're not going to make the postseason. Like, Tampa, remember, with about a month, and you're right, they got red hot, hotter than Farrah Fawcett of Forest Fire, the last month of the season. But before that, they were fighting for a playoff spot with a bunch of teams. So I think they got hot at the right time, all of the Philadelphia Eagles a few years ago, smoke, mirrors, luck, and won the Super Bowl without the Chiefs having a left tackle. I think if they replayed that game 10 times and the Chiefs had a left tackle, Chiefs win at 7.
Yeah, but if you played in the COVID situation, and then, I mean, it's not I would say now that we know how the story ends for Tampa Bay, it's not much of a surprise to me that they really hit their stride after the bye week. I mean, they were a decent team before the bye week. They went 7-5. They had a bye week, and then they won 8 consecutive games after the bye week, including the Super Bowl. So I'm just saying is, so they got had after the bye week. They clearly made some adjustments where they started to kind of hit their stride. They're returning, not some of the roster, they're returning the entire, I saw a stat, they're returning their top 35 players from snaps last year. I got no reason to think that Tampa won't be a 11-5, 12-14. And you know, I'm not very high on Tom Brady, but just the amount of talent they have around him, I would pick Tampa to make the playoffs next year.
Yeah, I'd probably take them to make the playoffs too. But I mean, if you look at Las Vegas was a believer in Tampa from the second that they got Tom Brady. I know you weren't. I wasn't saying they were going to go to the Super Bowl, but they were the second favorite the entire year to get to the Super Bowl. So let's not pretend that they came out of nowhere. If you look at the odds this year, the Chiefs are still the heavy favorite, and Tampa's right around like the 7th or 8th team most likely to win it. So could they get back? Sure. But it's much more likely that the Chiefs play in the 3rd straight Super Bowl than Tampa goes back-to-back.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, more likely. I only think that because of Mahomes, though.
That's a big difference.
I'm with you. I think Tampa's roster is
like
better
saying,
than Kansas
I only
City.
Think the Ferrari's going to beat the Accord because of the engine. Like, yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah, I mean, they had that advantage in the Super Bowl, and they got absolutely smoked in the game. Coming up a little bit, we will get to your questions. Before we do that, somebody who was a part of that beatdown of the Super Bowl, DeMarcus Robinson, he's super high on next year.
Every other season is 5 touchdowns, 500 yards, and I just think it picks up a little bit more right now. And I'm looking for that opportunity, not for them to give me the opportunity. I mean, that role, but me to go in there and take the opportunity and go in there and show that I am a guy who can put up 1,000 yards a year and 10 touchdowns. And I'm ready to make that happen. So they said they got something in store for me. I'm ready to show them.
I don't want to just use this segment to make fun of DeMarcus Robinson. You're allowed to think as highly about yourself as you would like. My question with the Chiefs is always at wide receiver going to be a snap count issue, because the snap count tells me who they believe in. The amount of opportunities that you get to be on the field obviously increases your opportunity to make plays on the field.
Oh.
They really like DeMarcus Robinson. He plays at wide receiver more than anybody not named Tyreek Hill. If we ask the text line right now who's more talented, Byron Pringle or DeMarcus Robinson, I think the text line's probably 80-20 Byron Pringle. We do that same thing with Mecole Hardman. I think majority of the text line does the exact same thing. The Chiefs don't feel that way. So it doesn't matter what I think. Doesn't matter what you think. Doesn't matter what Rob thinks. Doesn't matter what the guy at Nick and Jake thinks or Johnny Taverns. The Kansas City Chiefs have told us for the last 2 years they trust DeMarcus Robinson more than they trust Mecole Hardman.
It might be different next year, though, because
Wait, based on what?
Because Hardman's going into year 3 and not year 2, and I don't think that they've gave up on him the same way that you have. And Sammy Watkins is no longer going to get any targets. So I think that it's good news probably for all of those guys. I just want to see one of them break away from the pack. Like right now, if you said that a Chiefs wide receiver next year that's not named Tyreek Hill goes out there and has 750 yards and 6 touchdowns, and then you also tell me that that was DeMarcus Robinson, I'd say, oh, way to go. He finally did what he was saying. If you said that was Mecole Hardman, I'd say, I told you so. If you said that was Byron Pringle, I'd say, oh, cool, he stayed healthy and got the opportunity. I just want to see one of them actually go out there and do it. It's one thing for me to say it into a microphone. Who's going to actually separate themselves? Because right now, nobody has.
I think that's a fair question. I'm asking, if Mecole Hardman has a almost 250 snap difference behind DeMarcus Robinson, and Byron Pringle has almost a 500, what's going to happen to close that gap? Because last year, we were thinking, all right, Hardman had a really productive rookie year. It's year 2. They're going to expand his role on the team. They didn't really expand his role on the team. If anything, his role on the team shrunk. He was on the field less in 2021 than he was. He didn't play more than Sammy Watkins or DeMarcus Robinson in terms of snaps in 2021. Now, obviously, the snaps are going to go up if they don't pick up another wide receiver, but
they probably will.
But right now, wide receiver number 2 for the Kansas City Chiefs, based on how they use them, is DeMarcus Robinson. I don't think that's good enough. I would like them to improve over DeMarcus Robinson. I think he has a relatively low ceiling in terms of being a number 2 wide receiver, but just based on how they've used DeMarcus Robinson, his targets and involvement in the offense, he's their number two wide receiver.
Yeah, that guy you're talking about was out there at the beginning of free agency, and maybe he's out there in the first round of the draft, but I don't think the Chiefs at this point are going to get – there's no free agents out there anymore that really wet my palate when it comes to wide receivers. Like, if you would have told me Marvin Jones, Kenny Galladay, Juju Smith-Schuster, well, that ship has already sailed. And when it comes to the draft, I think we all agree that it's more likely than not the Chiefs either – don't pick at 31. They trade up to get that left tackle, or they just stay there and take a left tackle. I've heard a lot of people say they're going to take a wide receiver with that pick. So I don't think they can necessarily get a whole lot better right now with the options that they have, which makes me think that they might not do anything. They might go back with the same guys they did last year, which, frankly, was a pretty good option. It's not like the offense wasn't bad or was bad. It's not like they didn't, you know, at times put up 40 spots. It's not like they didn't win 14 out of 15 games because, by and large, that offense could outscore everybody. So would it be nice to add another wide receiver, somebody that's more consistent? Sure. Do they need it? Nah, far from it.
Text line 913-576-7610. It is your chance to ask us a question and ask us anything.
I have a question.
Yes.
In these conjugal visits, you can have sex with women?
Yep.
You sure can. Okay, I'll do it.
That's a very good question.
Yes, I thought so too.
If you have a question that you've always been burning to ask to drive, now's a chance for you to do so.
My question is, how did that guy miss that putt so bad? My goodness, that was like a 3 foot. I haven't seen somebody miss a putt that bad, Rob, since Tom Watson in the, what year was that? The British Open, where he choked at the very, very end, like 2009, we'll call it. Yeah, no? Yeah, let's call it that. That was a bad putt. Lee Westwood.
913-576-7610. If you have a question, we'll answer your question. This isn't a question, but I just want to read it because I agree. I think DeMarcus Robinson has crazy talent, but has low football IQ and awareness. I could not agree with you more.
Why? Because he runs backwards when he catches the ball?
I doubt the crazy talented part. Like, I don't think he's crazy talented, but the low football IQ and awareness is very, very spot on.
I used to say the same thing about Dante Hall for like the first couple of years because he would always take two steps back before he'd take a step forward.
He ain't got that kind of elusiveness at all.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. He's not Dante Hall.
What other hobbies do you have other than sports? I listen to music very frequently. I am a big podcast person. I enjoy watching movies and television. I always say I watch TV, so you don't have to watch TV. I watch a lot of shows, then I'll just tell you what I feel about the show.
You know me, I'll get out on the water, unless you guys are counting like boating as a sporting activity. Kick it with the niece and nephew. Spend probably a little bit too much time with my girlfriend. Baby, if you're listening, you know it's true. Everything else pretty much. Oh, my dogs. I got a dog voice. I don't know if you ever heard it.
Hi, Cassie. Daddy's home.
That's what it sounds like. But besides that, it's pretty much just sports, if I'm being honest. I don't like when people say I'm a foodie or I like to travel, because everybody likes food and everybody likes to travel. Have you ever met somebody that doesn't like to eat or travel?
I actually do know somebody that doesn't like to travel. I don't think everybody's a foodie, though.
Who doesn't like good food?
I mean, I don't think that's what being a foodie is, though. I think a foodie is you go to a lot of different restaurants and you, like, I wouldn't consider myself to be a foodie. Like, I like these kind of foods. I'm not really adventuring too far on the menu. Like, I'm not that interested in it. So I wouldn't consider myself to be a foodie.
Who doesn't like to travel? What a weirdo. Like, I understand if you don't like the process of traveling, like a plane can be a pain in the ass, or that big bus used to tell me you went around back in the day. But, I mean, once you're there, like, it's great.
Why don't we sell our future first-round picks to trade up and get Panay Sewell?
Sell him. To the highest bidder.
I don't think that's a good way to build your roster. This is the thing that, like, I mean, I understand why it happened, so I don't say, like, why I don't get it. We say, well, you got to build through the draft. Like, once you pay Mahomes, now it's like, to hell with those draft picks. Like, well, hold on. Like, there's a process here in building your team and building your roster. And, like, to trade up to what I think it's going to get Sewell, you are going to give up a quarterback-type fee that I think down the line you are really going to need those draft picks to solidify the rest of your roster. I know this sounds crazy to you because of where they are, but at some point they're going to have to draft new pillars of the roster. the best place to draft those pillars of the roster are in round one.
The only thing I would say, and you're right about everything you just said, is that you'd have to end up giving like a king's ransom for it. You wouldn't have to pay him that. He'd be on a rookie contract.
Well, of course.
You get that guy, you'd get the best young left tackle in theory out of this draft on a rookie deal for the next 4 or 5 years. Yeah, you'd probably have to give future first round picks and probably your second and third or something. This year, you have to give a lot for him, but I don't hate it, actually. It's not going to happen, but I don't hate it.
Yeah, I think that's a terrible way of building your roster.
I mean, I was the same guy that said I would just break the bank for Trent Williams and overpay, knowing that he's probably going to get injured and that you're probably going to not waste that last year, but wish that you hadn't gave it to him. But if you can get 2 good years out of that guy and win 2 Super Bowls, then I don't care if you're giving him $100 million in empty money the last year. Like, to me, it's worth it.
That's kind of why I always feel like people unnecessarily laugh at the Rams. The Rams GM, how Twitter wants you to, like, that's what, the way Twitter wants you to handle the salary cap and all that kind of stuff and handle picks is exactly what the Rams do. Like, I actually kind of find it as to be a very interesting case study. Everybody, what's your favorite DMX song? What's My Name is my favorite DMX
Rough Riders Anthem.
Party Up. It actually is Rough Riders Anthem. I just wanted to see your reaction.
I really don't like Rough.
Who does?
Like, tomorrow, we had a trade. Kramer and a Chipotle burrito for Rob. I mean, not even close.
Do we get guacamole?
I mean, there's only going to be one burrito. I'm not saying that we both are getting a burrito.
You're the one who gets an all-keep.
There's only one burrito. There's only one burrito to
if
be
they
had
give
here.
Me some of that queso dip, which I'm really coming around on. I didn't like it at the beginning, but if they throw some of that in there, I'll probably have to give up Rob, even though he's my dude. Sorry, buddy.
What is the best brewery / bar in the downtown's Crossroads area? The best bar is Green Lady Lounge.
I mean, probably Uptown.
Yeah. I mean,
Who went to Uptown and left there, and they're like, that wasn't a good time. It gets a little old, but
during the Rona, I don't know. I'll probably wait a little bit on Uptown. All the people touching stuff.
Yeah, it's a lot of touching.
But to me, though, part of...
But I agree with you. I like Uptown a lot.
Part of Uptown is... I like it when it's a lot of people. Like, to me, that makes it more fun. Other than that, I'm playing games that I could just very easily play at the house. Like, to me, like, it's the social going out there. Like,
you have the NBA Jam arcade in your house?
Yeah, I told you, I have it in the house. I bought it like 8 months ago.
That's incredible.
And you get rid of Papa Shot.
Yeah,
I remember.
It's like I got a PlayStation 5 and NBA Jam in the crib. Like, wow. I'm not like I gotta go outside the house to play video games.
Well,
like,
most people, I don't know if you're aware of this. Most people don't have the NBA Jam arcade game in their house. They don't. You might be the only person in Kansas City that has that.
I mean, they sell it right at their store. It's like $400. Anybody can go get it. And it's really small, too. If you wanted it, you know, trade in the Xbox that you have and get NBA Jam. Play whenever you want.
I get both. Like you.
Someone said slipping. Is DMX like, you can have your favorite DMX song and it'd be a different favorite DMX song than me. I don't care what
snake,
your favorite.
The rat, the cat, the dog.
I don't really care what your favorite DMX song is. I'm just telling you what my favorite DMX song is. Will the Royals make the playoffs? No.
If you love something, let it go. If it comes back to you, it's yours. If it's not, if it doesn't, it never was. DMX.
What's your pizza order when you get pizza delivered? You guys are going to make fun of me. It is either pepperoni and sausage or grilled chicken and pineapple. It's one of the two.
Grilled chicken and pineapple?
I love it.
Gross.
It's something about it that is just absolutely amazing.
I mean, I love grilled chicken, I love pizza, and I love pineapple, just not together.
Y'all kicking me off for my DMX take, but grilled chicken and pineapple can stay? Okay.
No, I think it's a terrible take. That sounds awful.
If you're drinking Boulevard, what are you having? Wheat. Like Boulevard wheat.
Tank 7.
I like the Rattlers. I think the Rattlers are pretty tasty. You know what was actually really good? That Caribou Loo that they had. That was actually really tasty. I don't know if they still make that anymore, but Tech9, I don't know what you're doing.
157 Malibu rum pineapple juice?
Yeah, it was actually really good.
You know what I'm sizzling?
It's actually really good. Someone said get a PlayStation 5 and get the VR. I'm a big Spider-Man person. Have a great rest of your day.
Bye.
We'll see you on Monday. We have a full show on Monday, actually. And Tuesday. And Thursday. And Friday. We get closer and closer to the draft. Brad Keller, I really hope you pitch really well this weekend. That's what I hope. More than anything, I really hope you pitch well. Have a great rest of your weekend.